This is Jay Sekulow on audio surfaces of al-Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS, and this time he mentions Andrew Brunson.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
It's the first message from the leader of ISIS since the fall of Raqqa last summer. At this point, ISIS, which a few years ago controlled a territory about the size of Great Britain, now controls just a few isolated dots in the map here in the Middle East.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The president is continuing to put the squeeze on Turkey through some of these sanctions. Is there more that should be done, or do you think that they should be given time to take hold and see what happens with regard to Pastor Brunson?
First off, we need to keep in mind that Pastor Brunson is the one who is we've focused on. There are others that we also need to have a discussion with, but the first positive step they could take is to release Pastor Brunson.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to do a bit of an open call Friday. We're going to talk about a variety of issues. So we'll take your calls on a variety of topics, 1-800-684-3110. But let me say this. There is a tape out of the leader of ISIS, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Now, Jordan, this is the first tape that has surfaced in a very long time.
Yeah, that's right. Since really ISIS has lost so much territory, that is mentioned in the tape. The tape, so you could kind of tell the timing of the tape, it downplays defeats by ISIS, saying that the standard used by the Mujahideen for measuring victory and defeat does not depend on a particular city or a village that has been liberated, nor does it depend on the enemy's aerial capabilities and, you know, abilities to attack or large number of allies and supporters. So trying to say that's not how ISIS judges a victory. At the same time, their whole, what made them different as a terror organization, yep, was that they were a governing institution.
Yeah, they
as
had,
well.
We made a big deal about the fact that they were controlling passport controls. They were controlling, yeah, large swath of territory. They were acting as a...
They weren't just hiding in caves.
Yeah, they were not. It was different than Al-Qaeda. They were not hiding in caves. Interesting also in this, and I said, yeah, we're going to talk about a variety of issues, was that Andrew Brunson's actually mentioned in this by Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. He condemned the U.S., saying, quote, experiencing the worst time in modern history. According to him, the U.S. imposition on tariffs on Turkish goods and pressure it's putting on Turkey to release the imprisoned pastor Andrew Brunson are signs of U.S. weakness. How he determined that to be weakness, you go figure that out. Then he says the refusal of Russia, Iran, and North Korea to accept the sanctions the U.S. imposed on them is a deliberate expression of disrespect to the U.S., and he accredited the Mujahideen in bringing the U.S. to this exact state. But he mentions Andrew Brunson by name. Now, that does two things. One, it tells you that this is current, if in fact this is authenticated, and it looks like our friends at Memory have authenticated that this is his voice. So he's also still alive. But they have suffered tremendous, tremendous losses. There's no question about that. All of that's going on while ISIS is continuing to lose control, because the president's approach on this has worked.
I think absolutely. I mean, this idea that America's worse than ever been, I don't know, maybe the Mujahideen doesn't judge a strength and the economic power the same way we do. Like, they don't judge winning the same way we do in our country, because the economy's doing great. Unemployment is low. They have not been nearly as – remember, we were going through periods of time. And I'm not saying that those waves could not happen again, but we were going through periods of time where it was nonstop on massive-scale terror attacks. It's gotten down to basically Europe with knives.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that again –
sometimes cars.
Yeah. That is pretty difficult to ever fully prevent. But it's not happening every single day, and it's not happening on a mass scale. And, of course, we all believe that that directly relates to the fact that their battlefield propaganda just doesn't exist anymore.
All right.
People have fled ISIS. That's who were ISIS fighters.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They have fled. All right, so we're taking your calls on this Friday on a variety of topics. You tell us what you want to talk about. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Coming up, NARAL has an ice cream flavor of the month. I am not kidding you. I think that's disgusting on this Friday. Yeah, but I want to talk to you about why the abortion industry thinks they can get away with this kind of stuff. 1-800-684-3110. Also, don't forget the matching challenge of at the ACLJ. Any amounts you donate, we get a matching gift for. And as I said, it's a open phone Friday. We do that about once a month. Decided today's the day to do it. So 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
And welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're doing an open calls Friday, so you can talk to us about a variety of issues, and just feel free to give us a call at 800-684-3110. But we do have, because this came out yesterday, al-Baghdadi, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS, went on with an audio surface with his voice. It's been pretty much confirmed now by multiple sources that it was him. He mentions Andrew Brunson in it, so it tells you the timing and says, you know, this is somehow this is a sign of weakness that the United States has put tariffs on Turkey. I asked Stan during the break, and I want to go right to him here, so I want a radio audience to hear this too. In Washington, what's the sense of this and what's coming up? So, Stan, go ahead.
Well, the first response to this tape is essentially an admission that ISIS is losing. I mean, that's what he means by he says we don't measure victory or defeat based on the liberation or loss of a city or territory. And Jordan walked through some of this, but I mean, you can translate that pretty directly, Jay. That is an admission that ISIS is losing from their leader. So that's number one. But number two is this direct link to Pastor Brunson. It's a case our listeners are very familiar with. But Jay, if ISIS is choosing the side of Turkey in that conflict, it says pretty conclusively that the United States is on the correct side. Says pretty conclusively that the United States has the higher moral ground on that issue. So an admission that ISIS is losing, and I would say sort of a backhanded admission that the United States has the moral ground and the moral advantage on Turkey and the Pastor Brunson issue.
Harry, I wanted to get your takeaway. Professor Harry Hutchinson, of course, our director of policy. And as I said, we're taking your calls on a variety of issues, 800-684-3110. But your review of the transcript of this, what's your sense?
Well, my sense is ISIS is increasingly isolated. It's increasingly desperate. ISIS used to measure success based on the territory it acquired, unlike other terrorist groups. Now they're claiming territory is not necessarily an indicator of victory or defeat. So in essence, ISIS has already admitted that it's defeated. And again, the ISIS leader is just reaching out to try to stir up trouble in the West, I think.
Yeah. Jordan, what's your sense of this?
Yeah, I think, again, it's time-stamped. Know that, again, for those who do believe this is a Baghdadi, that he's there somewhere hiding. They believe if he is alive that it's on the Iraq's Syrian border somewhere
in
there.
The desert.
Yeah, in the desert. So hiding out. Like other terror leaders have done in the past. And he's always been kind of hiding out, by the way. He's only made like one appearance in the last 5 years other than by these audio tapes. That being said, time stamping. So he time stamps the situation in Turkey and our client, Pastor Brunson. I mean, so that's coming from the head of ISIS. I think we need to look at the the danger this could put into someone like Andrew Brunson. Even though ISIS has been defeated in much on the battlefield, they still have radicals following their message and agree with their message.
I'm sure in Turkey
as well. Especially in places like Turkey. So,
and for those that are just joining us, which is really unheard of here, al-Baghdadi mentions Brunson by name, and the quote or the context is that U.S. imposition on Turkish goods and the pressure it's putting on Turkey to release the imprisoned Pastor Andrew Brunson are signs of U.S. weakness.
That's right. So, I mean,
which is ridiculous, by the way.
This, again, it just underscores the need to quickly get Pastor Brunson out of Turkey, where there are a lot more, though the whole world faces the threats from some of these militants and radicalized individuals, including here in the United States. There's a whole lot more people who came straight from the battlefield in Turkey who fought for ISIS, who may have lost the battles and tried to head out as refugees, you know, under the flag of being a refugee. There's probably a million plus of those in Turkey. And so when you're the high-profile pastor that can be located, I mean, all of that going and then al-Baghdadi, the head of ISIS, invoking you. It is a need. It should be actually a reason for Turkey to get him out, too. They don't. Why would they want to be responsible for this, too?
You're absolutely 100% correct. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yeah, Paul in New Jersey, online for Paul. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for having me. My question is with Pastor Brunson in Turkey and stuff. What would the world community think if we did an action kind of like Israel's done a few times to retrieve its hostages from other countries? So if we had to sneak in there,
very tough, because we've got a military base in Incirlik, in Turkey, which is our biggest base in the region. So, and this is not like you're flying into, you know, Uganda and Idi Amin. I mean, this is an ally of NATO. So, I mean, there's legal issues that would be involved in that, and it's just not the way this is done. This is diplomacy, and diplomacy, by the way, as Benjamin Disraeli famously said, can be war without violence. And the diplomacy on this is very tough right now, but the extraction is what you're talking about there. I don't think that's and there's no way that would happen. So what you have to do here is patience and good diplomatic skills on multiple. There's a lot of discussions going on right now. I'm not going to get into the details, although it wouldn't be fair to our client. I will just tell you that no one has forgotten that Andrew Brunson has been released to house arrest, but he's not been returned to his country of origin. And that demand is going. The president is not going to pay a ransom for a U.S. citizen that was unlawfully detained. So, let me make that clear again. The United States is not paying a ransom for a U.S. citizen who was unlawfully detained and being held by a NATO ally. Because, A, you wouldn't do that, and, B, you shouldn't do that. Having said that, there are diplomatic discussions that go on regarding these issues where there can be situations put forward where there are releases. He was returned to home confinement. He should have been returned to the United States. That's not going to change. Let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, back to the phones we go. Heather in Minnesota on line one. Heather, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Heather.
Hello.
Let's go back to Heather in a moment because you've just picked up her phone, and we'll get back to that. Let me ask a question here, and this goes to al-Baghdadi putting in Brunson in the piece. Now, that time dates it, as Jordan, as you said, that shows it's the current time. So I've got a question for you. There's a message there. What do you think that one is?
The message is I'm still alive. ISIS is still – our leaders are still hiding, that we're still there, though, and that we're following what's happening, and we're trying to draw attention by radicals to this one individual, which I think puts Andrew Brunson's life in danger that much more, and I hope the Turkish government takes it seriously.
Because it does put our client in much more danger. So if they are trying to protect our client – and they need to, because the consequences of something happening to Andrew Brunson would be very significant. So the Turks better send him home, is what I would say the word for Friday, this Friday should be. You looked at the whole thing, though, Harry. You've reviewed it. He covers a whole lot of topics here. He's definitely redefining victory.
He is redefining victory, but he's also sending a signal out to ISIS fighters who have returned to the West. He is trying to encourage them to renew their attacks on the United States and other countries that he calls the protectors of the cross. And he is.
Does he actually say that? He said that previously. He said that again?
He said that again.
Protectors of the cross.
And in addition, he has called upon them to launch attacks with cars, knives, guns, and a variety of other weaponry.
So they're going away from the war claiming with soldiers, which basically they had, with the flags flying, going into villages and taking those over.
Absolutely.
And returning to what we would call more of the Al-Qaeda.
So he's very much coming up with a terrorist model that we've seen previously with less emphasis on territory.
I think the president's policies, Stan, have helped significantly reducing the ISIS threat. Doesn't mean it's eliminated, by the way, because like Jordan said, just take a car and a knife and you could create terror.
Well, as a functional territory occupying regime, it has been successful. I mean, they've been crushed. Al-Baghdadi admits it in this piece. Look, I would say two things. I think the message from Al-Baghdadi, number one, is that he claims he's still relevant. And number two, it underscores something that we've talked about on this broadcast many, many times. There are phases to fighting terrorism, and we're now clearly in a phase where individual attacks have to have the most focus. And again, just to tie it again to Pastor Brunson, it's why it makes his quick return, his safe return, as important as it has ever been.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, no, I mean, to me,
Dan's right.
This is a situation where you've got to get Pastor Brunson out. There's more of an emphasis on why is because now you've got not just the Turkish media making him out to be this some kind of threat to Turkey, but now the Islamic State leader making him out to be this kind of threat, and that's a dangerous situation, yep. Especially when you're in a place like Turkey where that's where the refugees go first. Who are fleeing Syria. And by the way, those refugees include people who used to fight for ISIS.
Coming up on the next segment of the broadcast, we're going to get into something on the abortion front. I'm holding it up for our radio audience to see it. NARAL, National Abortion Rights Action League, they call themselves something else right now, Pro-Choice America, but that's what I used to call them. That's what their name was. What's the scoop? Custom flavor. Rocky Roe versus Wade. As if this is funny. And they're the ones who say, by the way, well, I'll get into that. I got a lot of comments on this one. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. So we'll talk about some life issues, but also we are talking about other issues that are of concern to you, other issues that are interest to you. We'll talk more about ISIS. We'll talk more about this. We'll talk about other topics we discussed this week. It's open from Friday. It's not often you get to ask us a question just about on anything, but we're going to do that today. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We encourage you to call again on any topic that you'd like to talk about. That's what we do on occasion. About once a month or so, maybe twice a month, more like once a month. This is the day we pick to do it. So again, 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget the ACLJ and our matching challenge campaign, Jordan.
Yeah, that's 1-800-684-3110 to give us a call on the air. Phone lines are open for you, 1-800-684-3110. And online at aclj.org. Be part of our matching challenge. Whatever you're able to donate online is doubled. That's at aclj.org. We have a lot of work going on. And that's, you know, on our website, we go through all of that work as well. On the radio broadcast, more of a news broadcast, where we do bring up our issues like Pastor Brunson in this matter. But aclj.org, donate now. We'll be right back.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
All right, welcome to the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. So NARAL has an ad going out. In hot weather and political climate getting you down, it's time to eat more ice cream. That doesn't sound so bad about ice cream. What's the Scoop is, that's the name of the store, is partnering with NARAL Pro-Choice Oregon by offering pints for sale, including a new custom flavor made exclusively for NARAL Pro-Choice Oregon, Rocky Roe versus Wade. Order your pints now and help defend reproductive freedoms. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is the destruction of a human life. And they want to make an ice cream flavor out of it. It should be blood red. Because that's what it is. It's disgusting. You know, you want to have, you want to argue these issues? You can argue it. But is anybody going to really argue that the unborn child is not a person? Is anybody going to try that argument anymore? Is that where it's going to, I mean, are they going to try that, or are they going to just come up with this and think this is funny? As a fundraiser, we're just going to raise money on an ice cream scoop about a determination of an unborn child's life. I've been fighting on this issue, by the way, for well over three decades. I'll tell you something. And you have grandchildren, you fight for it even more. I don't want to really give them any more credit on this. I just wanted to make the point. Let's go ahead and take it. We do have a phone call about these organizations.
Yeah, Heather in Minnesota, online one. Heather, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Heather.
Hi, Jay. Well, it sounds like our FDA is putting their stamp of approval on that brand of ice cream. I mean, I don't know, but I'm hearing from American Family Association, Susan Anthony, Life Action, other sources, petitions to the president, that our FDA is buying the remains of aborted babies and using them for research. And I need to know if there's proof to that and what's going on, you know, why all these outlets are talking about this.
I mean, well, it's because it's disgusting. We know who was in the business of selling fetal body parts. I mean, we've already, you know, those cases are being litigated. We're involved in that litigation. I mean, they Planned Parenthood, these other groups, they acknowledge that they were harvesting body parts. I mean, look, I mean, you know, they think they had the right to do it. We think they did not. But I don't know what the FDA's role in any of this. Will, have we seen anything on that? The Food and Drug Administration? I've not seen anything on this. But, I mean, the it's desensitizing.
Also, that government research does. I mean, so there is definitely government-funded research at universities.
Yeah.
That was in the news. I think that's what she referred to. That has, because some of these sales have been deemed to be legal as long as they're not making a profit. Because so research institutions have been known, and a lot of those research institutions receive government funding for their research. So, in a sense, yes, that is another industry that needs to be stopped based off of, again, getting to the bigger abortion issue.
Man, what is the status with, I know there was congressional oversight hearings. Whatever moved on that, on what these groups were doing?
Well, that select panel pretty revealed the scheme that they had, Jay. I mean, they had baby body part list, menus, prices you paid for baby body parts. And, of course, Planned Parenthood and others said that those were just reimbursements, so they tried to skate with the technicality. But, Jay, we've talked about this so many times. The recourse for the United States Congress is so very clear. Quit giving those entities U.S. taxpayer dollars. I mean, there was another vote in the United States Senate just yesterday, and you had two Republicans voting in favor of continuing to fund Planned Parenthood. So look, we're just going to have to keep pointing this out. It's very clear what the industry is engaged in. And by the way, they're tying it to the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh right now. On this very block right now, we have protesters protesting against Brett Kavanaugh on the life issue. So the recourse is very clear. Quit giving them taxpayer dollars, and you're going to have to reform the courts as well. Brett Kavanaugh is a piece of that.
You know, Harry, the coarsening of the culture, though, when you do things like this.
Absolutely. So essentially, we are marketing repugnance. So NARAL and Planned Parenthood operate profitable billion-dollar businesses. They are selling itemized body parts, and they're profiting from it. And then they're having dinner parties, if you will. Wonderful varieties, a menu of wine while they're selling these parts. So it's a repugnant, repellent operation, and the U.S. Congress, in the face of all of this, has done very little to stop it.
Yeah, to me, the fact that Planned Parenthood is still getting this funding, Jordan, is unbelievably outrageous. Unreal.
Yeah.
Every time it comes down to we think we're going to get it done, it doesn't happen.
No. I mean, it's going to take, we have the support of the White House. We have party support in one of the major political parties, the Republican Party. But we don't have is a majority who will actually do it in the U.S. Senate, even with a Republican majority. Because though the Republican Party may endorse the idea, there's a handful of Republicans who are elected to the U.S. Senate specifically who do not. So you've got to get more pro-life conservatives elected in the House and Senate, really, and take advantage of an opportunity where you have a president, because not all Republican presidents would be willing to do it, where you have a Republican president who is willing to actually do this.
Then, and to that point, which I think is a big point, is there any chance of anything coming up in the next sessions that could do on the deal with this defunding issue?
It depends how the midterms go, Jay. I mean, it's as simple as that. The function of this that the administration can address, the Title X dollars, the family planning dollars, of which Planned Parenthood gets about $60 million, the administration is already in the process of rescinding those. We filed comments in support of that act. That's really as far as they can go. Jordan's correct. You need 50 votes in the United States Senate. And just yesterday, Jay, they tried again, and two Republicans, Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, voted no. You can't get to 50 votes without either those two votes or some of the Democrats who claim they're pro-life, like Joe Manchin, Joe Donnelly, Bob Casey, all of them voted against that as well. So, Jay, yes, absolutely. You can stop the $400 million through Medicaid that goes to Planned Parenthood, but you need 50 votes in the United States Senate. And currently, we have Republicans and Democrats who claim to be pro-life who are blocking that.
And like you said, Joe Manchin, who votes, you know, tries to say he's a conservative Democrat, ends up voting on the abortion side every time on this.
Yeah, because, again, he's been pictured holding up signs for Planned Parenthood. I mean, the truth is, we let some of these characters, and I say this, where they play a character of trying to be a moderate to their base in West Virginia and places like that. I think people are wising up to it more and more, whether or not it happens in this election cycle. I know President Trump was just in West Virginia for that very issue, because he talked about, I've heard President Trump talk about it too, is that Joe Manchin will call him, he'll come to meetings, acts like he's going to actually be there on something, and then he isn't. Now, sometimes that's a little different on judicial nominations, so I don't want to put him in too much of a corner there. But let's take another phone call.
Yeah,
Adam in
quick,
California,
here.
On line six. Adam, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Adam, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello. I was just, I enjoy your radio talk. I appreciate you guys. I just had a comment on about the freedoms that we take advantage of when it comes to, you know, organ donating and abortions and how they're coming up with an ice cream to promote it. I mean, our freedoms are for good, not for evil. And I think that's the fine line that they're not caring to cross. They have no consideration.
Well, I think it's disrespectful and disgusting that they have the right to do it. I can't think of a legal reason why they can't put this commentary on their ice cream. You would choose not to do business with them, that's all. But I put that in there because I think it's a coarsening of the culture. That, to me, that's how it's viewed. It's a coarsening of the culture. All right, we're going to be here for another 30 minutes. We'll take more calls. Open phone line Friday. Especially the second half hour. We'll get into a variety of topics. You can give us a call.
That's 1-800-684-3110 to join us on the broadcast. And again, an open line Friday means whatever topic you would like to discuss, we will discuss it with you. 1-800-684-3110 or question that you have. 1-800-684-3110. Maybe it's one we haven't gotten to yet this week on the broadcast. Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. We've got a whole second half hour coming up to take those calls and questions. And also go to ACLJ.org. A matching challenge, whatever you're able to donate, is doubled for the ACLJ. Go to ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.
Talking about freedom. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome back to the second half hour of the broadcast. So we mentioned earlier that Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi issued an audio surfaced talking about redefining his losses as a victory. They've lost 90% of their caliphate and land acquisition, but he's saying, well, that's not about that, and they've returned to more of an al-Qaeda style. But they also mentioned Pastor Andrew Brunson, and they said that the Turkish goods and tariffs that have been put on the Turkish government shows American weakness, which I think it shows the exact opposite. So I just want to let you know that we're following that. That's been authenticated by our friends at Memory, that this is an authentic tape. But they did mention Pastor Andrew Brunson, which, Jordan, you said is another reason he needs to be out of Turkey immediately.
That's right. I mean, so when Baghdadi mentions Brunson, again, in specific the situation in Turkey, that is a call to radicals. You know, you have a location. If you're in Turkey, it's in the news constantly. Baghdadi knows, obviously, Syria bordering Turkey. There's plenty of his former fighters, those who no longer can fight on the battlefield because the war has shifted, if you will, who would be in Turkey. And I think that puts Andrew Brunson's life in more danger. He's got significant security. Again, I think that this was a call to radicals specifically there. Because he knows he's got people there.
All right. On this second half hour of the broadcast, we said we're going to talk about a variety of issues and topics. It's an open line Friday. We're going to go right to it. Let's go to line five, and we're going to start talking about those other issues.
Julie in California on line five. Julie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Julie. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay and Jordan. Hey. I will donate during matching challenge.
Great. We appreciate that. Thanks.
My question is about how can we stop the judicial overreach of district court judges. The president doesn't get to tell the Supreme Court how to vote, nor does he get to have the final vote and tell the congressional bodies what laws to pass. How is it that one district court judge can tell the president that he can't do something for the whole nation?
Marbury versus Madison is the answer to that. That's a Supreme Court case. I think the year, we'll get it, make sure I get it right, Will, I think it was 1804. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was 1804, said that the Supreme Court, and that which means the lower courts too, have the right to determine whether a law is constitutional. What they don't get to tell the president to do is whether a policy is good or bad and how it should be implemented. But, Harry, this is part of the constitutional balance that goes on, and district courts judges can be what we call activists, and that is overreach. They're not lawmakers. When they become lawmakers, they're overreaching their constitutional authority. And that's why who serves on these courts, district court, court of appeals, and the Supreme Court, is very, very important. Harry?
Absolutely. So it's essential to nominate judges who believe in the text of the Constitution and who believe in the rule of law. Too often judges believe in something called living constitutionalism, meaning that they make it up as they go. Secondly, I would point out Clarence Thomas has called for an urgent reevaluation of the ability of a single district judge to override statutory moves by Congress and by the President of the United States. And I think the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court and his confirmation will accelerate a reevaluation by the United States Supreme Court on that particular issue, and it's very, very important.
I was off by 1 year on Marbury versus Madison. It was 1803. I must be aging. Maybe that's what it is. As I get older, I was off by a year. It was pretty good recall to come back to Marbury versus Madison, 1803. I said 1804. Give or take a year. Pretty close. Let's get a quick update from Than on Brett Kavanaugh. You said you had protesters around. He's getting confirmed, though, as we went to
break.
He's
getting confirmed, but look, you need to pay attention to those hearings that begin on September 4th. I think they're going to be rowdy, Jay. I think there's going to be a lot of protesters. I think there'll be very visceral questions. There'll be questions on the life issue and a number of other issues. I do believe he'll be confirmed, and Jay, I think he will be on the court by that first Monday in October. That's what we should be demanding,
quite
frankly.
They're going to focus, though. I think they're going to try to focus on, I'm telling you, I could feel it. They're going to try to focus on him being asked questions about what he thinks about the constitutional authority for a subpoenaed issue against a sitting president. That's what I think is going to be some of the focus on this. We can talk about some of that when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and go right back to the phones. We're going to do this in the order that you called. It is a Friday, so we're doing open calls on Friday. You have open questions. We are willing to take a look at it.
All right, Roberta's calling from Colorado on line 3. Roberta, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Roberta.
Thank you. I wonder, I know it might take more than a few days, but could you guys please tell us all of those who voted to not defund Planned Parenthood?
Well, I don't know if we could tell you all, but Than, can you give us a few names that we mentioned a few already?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, I will say we are putting this up at ACLJ.org later this afternoon so you can see them all, but I can tell you very easily how to identify them. It's every single Democrat in the United States Senate except for the three who missed the vote, which is Senator Hirono, Senator Murray, and Senator Schatz. We know how they would vote, though, Jay.
That makes it, yeah.
What's
right. That's pretty straightforward right there. And then on the Republican side?
And two Senate Republicans, Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins. Those are the ones that voted yesterday to continue the funding.
There you go. We gave you the list, and Roberta, so there you have it. And it should make a difference, Jordan, in a midterm election.
Yeah, it should. I mean, I don't think it would for like the Susan Collins and Murkowski type Republicans. They are a small group, as you could see. They're basically those two that you can count on not to support the defunding of Planned Parenthood. That being said, that means that Democrats like Joe Manchin voted to keep funding for Planned Parenthood. I mean, so if you're in the West Virginia audience, just remember that. I'm not telling you how to vote, but remember when he's playing you up as some, I care about life, I care about this. Yeah, he might care in his personal life, but in his political life and the way he votes to give your money to Planned Parenthood, the number one abortion provider in the world and in the country. So people need to remember that in places like West Virginia when they're voting.
All right, let's go. We're going to grab another call, and we're going to open these lines so you can get in a conversation at 1-800-684-3110.
Yep, Ron in California, line 4. Ron, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah, hello, gentlemen. Hey. I would appreciate if you could answer a question. Whenever the government, when they're called to court, sometimes they say, oh, I plead the fifth. Could you explain that to me? It seems like that's just a walking thing for them to get away with.
So you're talking about when they call to testify?
Yes.
And then let me see if we can find the sound from Lois Lerner. When she, this was a case we were involved in. This involved a challenge that we made to both the constitutionality and statutory authority of the IRS when they were going to, when they did target conservative and pro-life organizations for this unique treatment. We went to court. We won. There were two cases. Our case got injunctive relief, which got all the policies, rules, and regulations changed. And then our companion case that we were also involved in Ohio received a monetary damage for the clients there of millions of dollars. So, but Lois Lerner was called to testify. And I will tell you that she did a very unusual invocation. Have we found it yet? A very unusual invocation of the Fifth Amendment. I'm sorry? All right, we're going to get it. I want to play it for you because I think it's very appropriate. But, Harry, when you look at, you know, when we flash back on that case for a moment, that was kind of the beginning. You realize we were kind of way ahead of the curve on what we were going to later find out with all of these situations now going on, that when we hit the IRS and kind of the deep state issues of the IRS, which you didn't have to dig so deeply for because it was right at the top, we really were ahead of the curve on what was going on within these bureaucracies.
Absolutely. So there is a clear lack of accountability within the federal government and in some state governments. And if you go to the text of the Fifth Amendment, it's essentially the right under the U.S. Constitution against self-incrimination. But the Fifth Amendment is not designed to advance the lack of accountability, but it has been used arguably as a weapon that has protected bureaucrats from being held accountable and penalties.
That's exactly right. So here's what Lois Lerner said. Take a listen.
Because I'm asserting my right not to testify, I know that some people will assume that I've done something wrong. I have not. One of the basic functions of the Fifth Amendment is to protect innocent individuals, and that is the protection I'm invoking today.
That's actually correct as a matter of law. I mean, as a matter of law, that is correct, that the Fifth Amendment is done to protect the innocent, and so it's not a prohibition. It's not only applied for people that are guilty, it's to protect the innocent, and it is a constitutional right that can be invoked in those kind of Senate and House hearings as well as in judicial proceedings. So she had the right to do it. She ended up losing her job over it ultimately, but she had the right to do it. So it's not an unusual thing, but they are allowed to do it. Now, the consequence of it depends on these agencies. I mean, Bruce Orr, as far as we know, Jordan, is still there at the United States Department of Justice, as far as we know.
Yeah, that's right. We're still paying for his salary with inside the DOJ criminal division. He's been demoted as a deputy assistant attorney general, and he was demoted again as no longer the head of that the crime and drug trafficking division. But as of the most recent reporting, still getting his paycheck, still at the main Department of Justice headquarters in Washington, D.C.
So, Than, is there any movement on that, those kind of issues on employee accountability and those issues?
Well, look, I think there is going to be more congressional action in the next session, Jay, calling him back to the Hill. But I'm going to be very honest with you. I don't think that's where we're going to see results. I think the results need to come from inside the Department of Justice, inside the leadership at the FBI.
Yep.
Look, we have a pile of evidence on a lot of folks who abused the power that was granted to them. Very sacred authority. And, Jay, yeah, Lois Lerner had the right to plead the Fifth, but the evidence was there, and we pushed it out to the public, and it cost her her job. Quite frankly, the list of people who should lose their job inside of our law enforcement agencies, it's pretty lengthy right now.
Are these agencies, Harry, institutionally capable of fixing this?
Well,
I mean, technically they can.
Technically they can.
Of course, you do have the labor unions.
But the real issue starts, in my opinion, at the top. So we need vigorous leadership as opposed to weak and impotent leadership at both the FBI and the Justice Department. From my perspective, we have not yet seen vigorous leadership in either of those two departments. So this allows the lack of accountability to fester. It allows the problem to grow. And that's, I think, the central issue. Certainly there are problems with labor unions, but it starts at the top.
All right, let's go ahead and we are taking your calls, 800-684-3110, a whole host of issues. Let's go get another one.
Yeah, right back to the phones we go. Let's go to Stephen in Georgia, Online 5. Stephen, welcome
really
to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Stephen, go ahead.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Great.
Thank you for all that you do.
Sure.
Just a quick question. Do you think that we could see it come to pass that while President Trump is in office, that he would declare the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization?
So this is very interesting because the Muslim Brotherhood should be the Hamas is, which is the military arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood is the political arm, thus, of Hamas. So I don't know what the discussions are going on inside the State Department on this, but I think it would be worthy of acknowledging that that is a fact. The Muslim Brotherhood is a terrorist organization. My goodness, they were overthrown in when Mohamed Morsi won. He stayed in power for a while, and the people of Egypt revolted. Jordan?
So far, the focus of the Trump administration has been designating more of their militant wings as terrorist organizations to kind of cut them off that way first, because they use that broad title, Muslim Brotherhood, as this kind of political title, but the truth is they hide around with a lot of other names, like, well, and then Hamas being the one of their best-known militant offshoots, but there are others, and they are being designated as terrorist organizations. There has not yet been a move to designate that term yet.
Yeah.
As a terrorist organization, as a Muslim Brotherhood, as a terrorist organization, and covering every single umbrella, though I think you can make a case that it should be.
What do you think, Harry?
Well, I think it's certainly, I think Jordan is clearly correct. So if we go back to the January 10th, 2010 statement by Mohamed Morsi, he said, "Dear brothers, we must not forget to nurse our children and grandchildren on hatred toward those Zionists and Jews and all those who support them. They must be nursed on hatred. The hatred must continue." So it strikes me that that statement alone is sufficient to justify designating the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist group.
Yeah, I think it's very important that this situation be evaluated this way. I think it should be. They should be designated. There's multiple parts to this, but again, I think when you look at what Congress is looking at now, I'll throw that to Than for a minute. I mean, the fact is, the president's policies and our military have been very successful of late in dealing with an insurgency that was going on in Syria and Iraq and the Levant of ISIS. It's been miraculous the change that's taken place in basically a year and 8 months.
Well, crushed ISIS as a territory-holding regime, also drawn back on that UNRWA funding, which directly gets to the question about funding for Hamas. Jay, I would throw the next challenge to the Congress, though. I mean, you talked about Hamas being a designated terrorist organization. They're in partnership with Fatah and the Palestinian Authority. That makes them ineligible to receive taxpayer funding, and yet the Congress does not stipulate that specifically in the funding bills that they pass. That should be a stipulation that is clear as day when Congress passes funding bills. And to this day, Jay, it is not, and they can continue to get limited amounts of funding.
All right, we're going to come back from the break. We're going to take your calls. Again, any topic, that's what we do occasionally on Fridays, and that's one of them, 1-800-684-3110. We've gone through a lot of calls, so we've got a few lines open for you, 1-800-684-3110. For our friends on Facebook and Periscope, share this with your friend. We'll play some music for you coming up after the break. But again, phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. We also have a matching challenge.
We had our matching challenge. Whatever you're able to donate to the American Center for Law and Justice online, at ACLJ.org, that donation is doubled for us. So a $5 donation is like $10. 10 is like 20. ACLJ.org.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. We're going right to our phones.
1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to them in order. Denise in Rhode Island, on line one. Denise, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Denise. Go ahead. You're on.
Hi, Jay. Thank you so much for all that you do. I've been a long supporter of yours.
Thanks.
And I'm being in Rhode Island, we have a very... it's a one-party state.
Yep.
And we have big efforts now to rewrite our abortion law, and it's very radical and is being really supported, financially supported by Planned Parenthood.
Sure.
We have a Right to Life committee here that operates, but it really can't match, you know, what we're up against.
Yeah, well, this is the great problem that exists both on the state and federal level. I mean, your experience in Denise and Rhode Island and Fan and the federal level, you always remind everyone that these organizations are not only well-funded, they are aggressive in their advocacy.
All across America, Jay, and there's really two prongs that we've got to be focused on. I mean, and the issue that we talked about today is a perfect example of this. You can prohibit Planned Parenthood from getting Medicaid dollars at the federal level, but if you can't accomplish that, a state can do the same thing, Jay, but that gets challenged on a state level when states try to do it. That's one of the cases that we are working on right now. So I would just encourage the caller. You might be frustrated in your state. You can still engage federally to try to get those protections, but look, you also have to fight for the freedoms for individuals states to do the right thing, and in many cases right now, Jay, they don't have that we have to fight.
Yep.
That in court.
Yep. It's whether it's Rhode Island or in federal court or wherever we have to go, we've got a lot of those cases pending representing physicians that are opposed to engaging in abortion procedures. So there's a whole host of issues that come into the life movement that we're fighting for at the ACLJ.
All right, back to the phones we go. 1-800-684-3110. Till some time to get a call in. Let's go to Paul in New Jersey on line three. Paul, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure.
My question deals with the abortion topic, too. I mean, our Declaration states the protection of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So how was abortion ever legalized without a constitutional amendment?
Because the Constitution was viewed by nine justices of the Supreme Court, at least a majority, 7-2, that it came out of, that the right to abortion came out of the penumbras. So I'm going to let Professor Hutchinson explain that hocus-pocus of the Constitution.
Essentially, Jay, you're absolutely correct. Judges have rewritten the text and the textual language of the Constitution. They've done so in an effort to emphasize and support their own preferences. This is a huge problem. But the problem really starts early in leading law schools, elite law schools. And so one of the things that I would like to see happen is to broaden the judicial selection method so that we're getting more and more judges who did not go to Harvard, who did not go to Yale, because at those schools, they do not actually teach the Constitution. They don't actually teach the law. They teach philosophy. So
yeah.
That's one of the quintessential problems.
I call it law and the banana sometimes they'll teach in some of these law schools. Not related to the abortion issue. It's just like some of these courses they're coming up with. I mean, I don't understand the value of the course as it relates to the practice of law.
And I think
you didn't do law and the banana, did you?
No, I didn't. But I think that phrase disrespects bananas.
Oh, not fair to bananas. Okay, there you go. All right.
All right, let's go back to the phones. So Roland in Massachusetts, line two. Roland, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Roland.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, what would happen if Erdogan would have put Pastor Brunson back in prison?
Mm. Well, right now, first of all, he hasn't, and that's a good thing. But there's a trial date, October 12th. I think the consequences of that move would be disastrous for Turkey. Jordan?
Yeah, that would be a step. I think you're really asking for a full-on sanctions regime by the U.S. government, and they don't have that yet. I think that they're teetering on that, by the way. already by keeping him under house arrest and not letting him return home. That being said, I think, you know, you return him to prison, and then I think that this administration, I can't speak for him exactly, and there'll be those in the administration on the military side especially who would not probably like some of those moves, but I think you could see it in a full sanctions regime put on Turkey, which would cripple an economy like that.
And I mean, I'm not doing well already.
Yeah,
I was going to say. So, but then what would congressional reaction be? Then I want to ask Harry how the Turkish economy, how the lira is doing right now. What would be the reaction in Congress if they were to do that?
I think there'd be overwhelming support for continuing sanctions on the economic, diplomatic, and security fronts. Look, the Turkish people, Jay, are suffering currently because of Erdogan's hubris on this. They just want to feed their families. But look, President Erdogan's going to have to make a choice at some point. Is he actually for his people? Because if he would make a move like that, or frankly, if he just delays returning Pastor Brunson, his people are going to continue to suffer. And I think the world would join President Trump, not just the Congress. I think the world would begin to join those economic sanctions. And, you know, we think there's been a collapse. Now, it would be catastrophic at that point.
What's the condition in Turkey right now economically this week?
Well, essentially, it's a disaster, but the prospects are that it will get much worse going forward. The lira has fallen by about 60% this year. Investors are pulling out their funds. Turkey is experiencing difficulty refinancing its debt. Turkey has taken out a huge amount of foreign denominated debt, and so they are going to pay a crushing economic price going forward.
Yeah, so I think, again, this is only with a couple of sanctions, but really it's the foreign debt. They try to blame the sanctions on two individuals in Turkey and some tariffs on what has happened. What the truth is, it is because of decisions that have been made by the Erdogan government for a long time, but they could not, I don't think they could survive a full sanctions regime from the U.S., but that is what is around the corner. It's like for what's around the corner for Iran, too, on the nuclear issue in November, is the really crippling sanctions that put them back to kind of where they had been before. I'd say the difference between Iran and Turkey is that Iran is a people and government kind of used to being sanctioned. Turkish government, Turkish people are used to being NATO allies and treated like the Western world.
It's interesting. We got a Facebook question from Carolyn on Facebook. Said, are NATO members giving any support in Pastor Brunson's case? Some are, and the UN Committee on Arbitrary Detention took up his case. So the answer to that is yes. All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
Yep, let's go to Charles, New Mexico, line 6. Charles, welcome.
Hi, Charles,
to Jason.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Okay, we'll go back to you, Charles, in a moment.
Let's go to John in Washington State on line 3. John, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Well, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
How important it is that you educate the constituency of issues and candidates when they vote contrary to what they say they're going to do, that we're on the phone to call their office and to tell them, you know, this is wrong, don't do it.
Well, look, this is the reason that we do this broadcast, and Than Bennett will tell you when we have you sign petitions or ask you to make calls to Congress, it makes a big difference in each one of those offices.
It moves votes, Jay, no question about it. And when they vote inconsistent with their campaign promises, regardless of their party label, we will point it out. In addition to the names I gave you earlier, I think Doug Jones in Alabama is someone who's got to be pointed out. He campaigned as moderate on the pro-life issue, voted the wrong way yesterday. His constituents need to know it.
All right, let me tell you something else. We are in the this is the last weekend for our matching challenge. So your support makes a huge difference. Maybe a couple days. Well, this is it. Last weekend, going into the last week of the matching challenge, we use your support. Jordan's going to let you know what to do, folks. Very important that you participate.
You donate online at aclj.org. You'll see a donate button there with the matching challenge. What the matching challenge means is if you donate $5, that's what you'd be charged, like your credit card. That becomes $10 to the ACLJ. 10 becomes 20. So the doubling is for us. It's not going to be a double charge to you. That's important to know. Donate online at aclj.org.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online. ACLJ